and welcome to today's episode of Tranquil Awakenings with me, Debbie Ison. On today's episode, I will be in conversation with Jack Brown, who is a person-centered therapist and CBT therapist. We will be talking about his personal journey, his growth and his development, which all led him to the place where he is now supporting others on their journey. We hope you enjoy today's episode. So thank you ever so much for being here today. And would you like to tell everybody who you are and what you do?
Yeah, thanks for having me. So I'm Jack Brown. I am a person-centered therapist with CBT integrated.
Interesting. So what led you to do that?
I've always known that my mission is to help people. Mm-hmm. And growing up, that was actually quite a challenge, is figuring out what I do with that. I've always had a deep, deep sense of empathy for people. And you know what it's like growing up. You feel like you have to have found your way. You have to know what path to take and where you're going to fit in, especially at school. They're preparing you to choose your options. Then you go on to the next stage and you'll have a career in this or that. Well, at school for me, I was nowhere near figuring that out. I knew I had this mission to help people. I found myself having lots of deep conversations with people I would meet in passing. I would find people just open up to me. And I knew that was a gift of mine. And I've always felt people's emotions. I've always wanted to be there for people and support people, friends or whoever needs it. So leaving school, I did performing arts at college.
Okay.
Because performing arts was fun. And you can meet lots of different people. But that still wasn't the career for me. I finished the course and found that still wasn't quite fulfilling enough for me. I still knew I had this gift. And I guess, in a way, I was almost ignoring that gift.
Yep.
You know, I'm saying I've known this gift all my life, but then I went into performing arts. That's not particularly helping people, but I thought, well, let me just try having fun. You know, with performing arts, you can play different roles, such as life. I think that's what attracted me to that area of my life, is I've always been able to see through this facade of life. You know, I've almost seen life as a pantomime with the different roles people play and being outside of the box. So I thought, well, why not just go and have fun with that and try that? That didn't really work out for me in terms of finding my purpose. So then I found myself taking another step back and evaluating, well, where else can I go? I found myself in a lifeguarding role. In a lifeguarding role, I found myself getting in trouble because I was talking to all of the swimmers. And you can't be talking. You have to be watching the pool and making sure nobody's drowning. But I wanted to know people's stories. I wanted to know Tina's story from the over 50 swim every week. How is she since moving here from the Isle of Wight? You know, and hearing her struggles. That's what I wanted. So I was talking and trying to connect with people. So again, I found myself nearer to what I wanted to do. You know, I can sort of help people in an emergency, but I'm still not quite connecting the way I want to connect. Leaving that job, I was offered an opportunity with the NHS.
Wow.
With the Mental Health Nursing Cadet Program. I went and did a group interview, which I was really nervous for, but I went. I thought, let's just go. Maybe this is the place. You know, maybe I found it this time. And I thought I had. I went to the interview. It sounded great. I was offered this role. And then came starting the role. I was on the Dixon ward. It was very fast paced. I turned up 5 o'clock in the morning, you know, reporting to head nurse as directed. They weren't quite expecting me, I don't think. The people there weren't quite sure. And it was just one of those experiences where as soon as that started, I knew that wasn't the place for me either. You know, you feel it. This wasn't the right fit. I did a week there.
Okay.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It was again, closer to what I wanted to do. I could help people. But the same thing was coming up. I was getting stuck with one or two patients because I just wouldn't stop talking.
Yeah.
Not just me, but them too. Mm-hmm. You know, I was asking about their lives. How are you? Let's not just focus on, you know, what you're in this ward for. I want to hear your story and connect with you. Mm-hmm. But I did a week there and I left and I found myself going home. Total meltdown. Mm-hmm. Absolute meltdown, because where does this leave me now? I keep trying to find my path and not quite knowing what that is. Mm-hmm. So then I found that I just needed a job. You know, being unemployed is stressful.
Yes.
We have bills to pay. So I saw a job opportunity come up with Hairdressing Supplies Lincoln for a sales role. Mm-hmm. They had this Italian hair colouring brand and they were trying to push this in the UK. It sounded quite fun. I thought, let's just go. You know, I can talk. I can flip that switch if I have to.
Yep.
So I went. It was another group interview. I was successful. I started the job. Never saw myself in a sales role. Mm-hmm. But I found I was able to use and harness that skill of being able to talk to people with sales.
Yep.
You know, finding what their needs are. How can I sell this product to you? And I had success in that mm-hmm. role. You know, the brand grew. I was given some great opportunities to go to Milan and do some different work trips. I had the pleasure of working with Louise Davies, who you've met. I believe she's spoken on this podcast.
Absolutely.
And that was great, but I was still, there was still something inside of me that wasn't fulfilled. Mm-hmm. Something wasn't being met.
Yep.
So I evaluated again, looked at what's out there. What are some roles I could play? What are some jobs that could fit for me? So I began my counselling training.
Amazing.
Level 2. And it was the opposite of what happened on the ward. You know, you have those experiences of where you start somewhere and you know this isn't the right fit. Mm-hmm. I've tried, I'm here, but it's still not quite right.
Yep.
I started the level 2 course and I knew immediately.
Amazing.
This is for me. Uh-huh. This is it. This is the thing. And during the training, you practice things like triads, practicing the skills and the tools you've learned. And again, people were opening up to me and I was connecting with them. And I was passionate about that. So I was training alongside my sales role. Mm-hmm. And as my training progressed, I was on the road visiting different salons, trying to sell these products. And I found my sales technique was to actually talk about them and their life.
Yes.
Not so much about the products that I'm trying to sell. Obviously, I would talk about the product, but again, I was slipping into this wanting to know you.
Yes.
You know, I want to know your story and feel these things and go there with you. So I continued down that path.
Amazing.
I kept going until I was qualified.
Fantastic.
And here I am today. Yeah, I've set up my own private practice. Mm-hmm. I took the leap. It's called Empowering Pathways, because I do believe we all have this internal wisdom. Mm-hmm. Every single person. I had the internal wisdom all along.
Yep.
I had to connect with that. Mm-hmm. And although that led me to having this experience of changing track and trying new things, it was there all along.
Yeah.
And I believe that in people. I believe people are inherently good.
Yes.
And I believe people have the answers within themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's my mission to help them find those answers.
I think that's amazing.
And find their path or whatever it is.
Yep.
They need to work.
And I think what you've said is so relevant. I think in society, we're pushed sort of into the school system, which doesn't suit a lot of us anyway.
Yeah.
And then we're told at sort of 14 years old, you need to decide what GCSE options you're taking and then your A-levels. And that's sort of, you almost tell that you're going to have to decide your whole life at
your
that point.
When
I know now I'm still developing as a person. I still change and grow and shift.
Absolutely.
So at that age, that's quite terrifying.
It is.
And I think a lot of people don't know what they're doing, don't know where they're going. And I think it's quite a courageous thing then to try different things and do different things. So I think having that guidance there, having someone like you to support somebody through that journey, whether it's their career or whether it's their personal life, is really nurturing. But also it gives a person that space to explore who they are, what skills, what abilities, what attributes they've got within them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it's about. That is something I'm very passionate about, is helping people just connect with their truth. Mm-hmm. I think we all have an inner truth. And as you say, sometimes society puts these pressures onto us to drive us in a way that goes kind of against our truth.
Yes.
You know, like with my experience, I've tried this thing which I'm successful at. It's not it's not really me, but I guess I'm successful at it, but it's still not my purpose. So sometimes you do have to just take the leap, be fearless and try something new and find that. But like you say, we're always changing and always evolving.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to embrace that. We have so many layers, don't we? People have so many different colours and layers. And it's good to explore them all.
Absolutely.
And have fun with them all and embrace those. I think with me, there was also the fear of judgment from people. You know, I grew up in a forces environment. I was a gay male. I've always known my sexuality and you know, that's who I am. But I think a lot of what contributed to the way I operated was, what will people think?
Yes.
You know, will people be judging me? Or should I play the role of going into the forces myself?
Yep.
You know, fitting into that box and following the beaten track, I guess you could call it. And that there have been some self-esteem issues on my journey of what will people think and judging my self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
Off of what people think as well, their responses. There's a theory called the looking glass self. I don't know if you've heard of this theory.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to explain it though, so everyone else can understand?
Where people judge their self-worth off of the responses of other people and the beliefs of other people.
Yeah.
You know, another word for a looking glass is the mirror. So I'm seeing myself through the eyes of somebody else and what they think of me.
Mm-hmm.
Am I being accepted? So if someone compliments the way I look, I might think, okay, now I accept it. Yeah, I do look okay. I do like the way I look. Or if someone approves of this choice I've made or the path I've chosen, okay, so I am on the right path. This is okay now because that person has said it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I had to shatter that.
And I can completely relate to that because I know it's been the same with me, and that's happened in layers and it's happened over time.
Yeah.
It's had to be a lot of work on myself.
Mm-hmm.
That every time something sort of rears its ugly head, that sort of shadow aspect of myself, all that self-esteem, like those doubts, what do I need to do to shift this next layer?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us practitioners have gone through that in some way or another, because we've had to go to the depths of ourselves and our own vulnerabilities and insecurities to then be able to help and support other people. So well done for doing that.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to hear you can relate. It's amazing when I can meet people like yourself who are all about community as well and can relate to this journey, because growing up, I was always searching for that.
Yes,
I've always had this depth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm a Cancer Sun Pisces Moon, if you want to talk. Astrologically, I'm a very deep person.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, I've got a twin brother who I'm very close to. So I've always been very introspective, but also I was able to express that with him, which was great.
Yeah.
That was a positive mirror.
Brilliant.
You know, with the looking glass self. And I feel when you are deep and emotional and you see through the facade of this life, it can lead to being quite pessimistic in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, you have to have one foot in the spiritual side and one foot in the crazy, this is all a big joke, like have a fun, you know, have a joke with life and have fun. You have to have a foot in both and remain that balance, otherwise you can become quite, in my experience, dark. You know, there's always a dark side to the moon when you're a spiritual person, and I'm always aware of that. It's always with me, always in my peripheral.
Yes.
You know, I've always, it's like growing a tail. I'm always looking out for it. You know, the dark passenger of being spiritual, seeing through the facade of life.
Yep.
But remaining centered, you know, and being aware of that and the things you need to do to remain centered.
Absolutely. And I think that's something I've found difficult over time, because the more spiritually connected I've become, the more also I've been aware of like the atrocities really of the world and real life. And I think when you do jobs like we do, we also hear about the worst of humanity, horrible things that have happened to other people and experiences they never should have had to experience.
Yes. Yeah.
And also you start to become aware of other layers, other structures within society. And if you're not careful, you could end up either going down the rabbit hole and getting completely lost in the despair or the distortions, or you could become quite apathetic almost. So I think it's really useful having that sort of spiritual element and sort of the self-care element as well to keep you in that balance and that centre and in the present.
Yeah. Yeah. And to stay the course and enjoy life that way, you know, keep that balance.
So what's helped you to do that then?
Believing in the connection that I have in the inner wisdom and returning to source, you know, and knowing what works for me. I mean, different things work for different people. But I know my, I guess, toolbox, some people would call it, is meditation. I like to practice meditation every day. I know I need to eat nutritious food, be hydrated every day. I go to the gym, you know, winter that we're in right now is a big challenge for me.
Yes, me too.
I know that about myself. So when winter's coming up, I need to give myself a running start. Usually around October, I might start going back to the gym, taking my vitamin D supplements or whatever it is. Doing those things that I know that work for me, but also allowing myself space to feel what I need to feel.
Absolutely.
You know, practicing what I preach, essentially. I'm always talking about how emotions are things that we experience. They're like waves. Yes, there are things we can do to improve our mood, of course, but I often find myself describing mood as like a wicker basket, the wicker basket being the experience of mood, and we experience it as a whole, as the basket, but sometimes we have to break down that basket into each individual weave, you know, like our thoughts, our behaviours, emotions, physical sensations, and incorporate that into my life.
Yeah,
you know, as a strategy, if you will. CBT, really. It's similar to what we teach in CBT.
So obviously for anybody who's listening that doesn't know what CBT is, what is it?
So CBT, cognitive behavioural therapy. And cognitive behavioural therapy is all about how our thoughts, feelings, behaviours and our environment are all interconnected and they all contribute to our well-being. CBT can provide people with tools to really break down whatever it is that's affecting them into those ways, provide them with useful tools to overcome that, tools that they can use every day. For example, anxiety. CBT is very good for anxiety.
Excellent.
For people. But I've integrated it with person-centered therapy because, again, I believe in the power of people and their inner wisdom. So I find in my sessions, I will get in your shoes. If you come to me for therapy, I will talk to you and explore. I'll be in your shoes, exploring your world in your shoes, and then providing information. You know, it's not me sat in this chair and you're sat in that chair as the client and I know better, you know, and I'm the professional and I've got the ego. I'm actually providing information and my clients use the information. You know, I've had a lot of positive feedback, which I'm so grateful for. And it really empowers me and makes me feel good. But my response is always, but it's not what I did. Yeah. I didn't do the work. My dear client, you did. You know, you have turned up. You've looked under the rug, You know, you've looked under the bonnet, if you will, at what's going on in your system, and you have dug deep. Mm-hmm. You've done the work. I've provided the information. It's the work you do in between the sessions. Sometimes that is the hardest part. Yeah. Like physio, you know, the stuff you do in between. That really counts, because that's when you're doing the changes.
Yeah.
And I can't do those for the client. They have to do it themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing when I get to witness that. It really fulfills me to see somebody's journey. Mm-hmm. Something I'm really passionate about.
It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. Just to see the way people transform their lives. And I think I always have a lot of admiration for my clients, because I think it's a really brave thing to do. To actually get to a point in your life where you think, actually, do you know what? Something's not quite right.
Yeah.
And I need to do something to shift it. Because in order to shift it, often we have to look at things that have happened to us, limiting beliefs, things perhaps we don't like about ourselves.
Yeah.
Uncover them and then heal them in whatever way.
Yeah.
In order to move forwards. So I just think it's an amazing journey to be on. And I love seeing the transformation from where somebody starts to where they finish up. Yeah. But it can be a scary journey for people sometimes.
Absolutely. Because it means, I mean, with fears, just as an example, that journey would mean stopping and actually facing those fears mm-hmm. and looking down the barrel of the gun at those fears, which we don't really want to do. You know, our brains are trying to keep us safe. And when we feel fear, mm-hmm. we'd rather avoid the thing that our body and our brain is telling us is scary and to be fearful of. Mm-hmm. When actually, I always encourage people to face that fear. Fear wants to give you nothing.
Yeah.
Fear wants to hold you back. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to work through that.
Absolutely.
And embrace the journey.
And I think it's really great, though, that you're creating that safe space to hold that person through that journey. I think that's so important. And I think that dynamic between therapist and client mm-hmm. transforms you both. You both learn and grow through that process and evolve. Yeah. But I always say to people, it's finding the right therapist for you, the right type of therapy, but also the right connection, because mm-hmm. that person needs to hold the space. They need to help you to feel secure. They need to be the person that facilitates you to transform, to allow that process to occur. So I think I love what you're saying. It makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, thank you. Definitely. And that's it. You know, the therapeutic environment, it's something, and that relationship is something that's co-created with mm-hmm. the therapist and the client.
Yeah.
And you're right, it has to work both ways. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I've spoken to some people and they seem to be under the illusion that you can choose any random therapist because they're qualified and they're the professional and it's going to work. Sometimes you have to almost audition your therapists, you know, reach out to a number of different mm-hmm. therapists, maybe have a conversation with them before and then decide what's going to work for
you.
And I offer everybody a free consultation for that reason mm-hmm. with no obligation.
Yep.
You know, having a phone call, sometimes just hearing someone's voice, mm-hmm. you know, talking to them, understanding them a bit more gives you a way better feel realistically than what's on their profile. Because anyone can sit down and write whatever sounds good, but then you need to talk to somebody. There's that unspoken thing where I guess language fails us, you know, with that connection. Mm-hmm. And you have to find that.
Absolutely. I think it's about that rapport and that connection, isn't it? And I do the same. I always give free consultations to my clients because they need to feel comfortable and safe with me. They need to feel that they've got trust in me to be able to have lots of tools that can help them.
Yeah.
And it's such a personal thing. And I know from my position, I would never want to, you know, pay like lots of money to go and see a therapist and think, oh, actually, I don't like this person, because I'd probably feel obligated to keep working with them. Mm-hmm. But I would know in my heart and my energy that I wasn't going to make those shifts because I didn't feel the right dynamic. So I think it's great that you offer that.
Yeah, yeah. And there's no obligation with me. You know, mm-hmm. if someone, could you imagine you go to see a therapist, like you say, or and you're really anxious and you struggle with people-pleasing patterns or struggling to say no, and the therapist is saying, would you like to book in for next week? Oh, I guess, you know, yeah, I will.
Yeah.
When deep down this isn't working and I'm putting money into it and I want it to work. If anyone's listening and you're looking for a therapist, I would encourage you to think about how you want to feel when you're speaking to somebody, who makes you feel safe, what can make you feel safe on that journey, and don't be afraid to reach out to a number of different therapists.
Absolutely.
And be open to potentially quite a few of them maybe not being the right fit. You know, just keep searching and hopefully you'll find the right one for you.
And I think that's so important because I know a lot of people have come to me and they've maybe had a type of therapy or gone to a therapist and it hasn't worked. And then for a while they've just given up.
Yes.
And they've thought, well, I can't be helped. I'm beyond help. And then when they've explored it further and we discover actually it just wasn't the right fit, wasn't the right type of therapy, or it wasn't the right connection.
Yeah.
So I do agree. You need to ask and speak to lots of different people to find the right one for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I'm a person-centered therapist with CBT integrated. But as you say, sometimes people might need something different. Maybe someone might want to try hypnotherapy, or maybe someone needs to incorporate some more holistic things into their lifestyle, which I can encourage them to do, but also at times make a referral. You know,
absolutely.
I will never have someone sat in front of me who I know could potentially really benefit from a different modality or a different type of therapy, or sometimes a different person.
Yes.
And I'll be totally honest about that.
I'm the same. Because I know from my experience, I've been on this spiritual well-being journey now, really fully immersed in it for at least a decade.
Yeah.
Probably longer in reality. But I need different people at different times. So sometimes I need somebody I can go and talk to.
Yeah.
Other times I need my friend who's an acupuncturist to put some of her pins in me and it will balance everything out.
Yeah.
Sometimes I might want a reading because I want some spiritual guidance.
Yeah.
Other times I might want a massage or reflexology or hypnosis. I need different things at different times depending on how I'm feeling and the situations.
Yeah.
So I think it's really positive to know that. And I think I'm really glad that you're highlighting this because I've had three or four clients that have all come in the space of the past couple of weeks. And I feel like it was almost the universe lining it up for today for me to say this. And the therapist or the spiritual leader or whatever has said, basically, you're not allowed to work with anyone else. You have to come to me for that guidance.
Yes.
You're not allowed to work with a different practitioner. If you do go to a different practitioner, you have to tell me and seek my permission first.
Yeah.
And I'm horrified.
Because
we need different people in different situations at different times in our life.
Yeah.
And I would never have an issue if somebody was working with me and other people at the same time, or they worked with me for a bit and then went to someone else. That's a natural part of our growth and our evolution as human beings. So I'm just flabbergasted that anybody would say that. That to me is an ego thing.
It is, Debbie. That's exactly what it is. And you took the words right out of my mouth. There is ego. Will do anything to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And it is horrifying. It can show its ugly head at the places you least expect it. Like in this world of this holistic world or the therapeutic world. Sometimes people don't always have the right intentions.
No.
You know? But my intention is to encourage this person to grow and evolve because that's what I want.
Yeah.
You know, I feel fulfilled and I'm passionate about that and seeing that in people. So it's so great to meet you today because I know you have lots of different things under your belt and you have a different toolbox to me. And you're building a community. You know, I've been listening to some episodes of this podcast and I think it's amazing that you're all about that and pulling people in.
Absolutely. I think this is all about collaboration. And I think it goes back to that purpose, like you said. Again, I think a lot of us are here for purpose to help. We're here to make a difference to people's lives or to heal the planet. And we can't do that as an island by ourselves. We have to be working with each other and collaborating because we've all got different gifts and skills and experiences.
Yeah.
And the more we can draw upon that and pull it together, the bigger changes we can make for the positive.
Yeah, that's right. And it reminds me of, I was just reflecting on my journey again as you spoke because it reminded me of a time where I was in the dark side of the moon. And I was looking at the world, you know, in a forces environment. There was lots of war. Things just didn't seem to be getting better. And I thought, surely we should be going it up, you know, in the other direction. And I remember someone saying to me, Jack, you can't change the world. And at the time, I that hit me quite hard. I was like, what do you mean I can't change the world? Yes, I can. No one's going to stop me from changing the world either. Looking back, I realized that person was saying that to me because they could see how frustrated I was mm-hmm. at the way of this world. You know, we are the way we are at present.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, we are going in the right direction.
Absolutely.
People are inherently good.
Yes.
You know, there's this illusion on the news or wherever that, you know, that there's war and conflict and people are bad and we should be afraid and there's this fear. But actually, I'm aware. You're aware as I'm speaking to you. You know, my friends are aware. The people around me are aware. Yeah. So we are actually going in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the small things we can do. You know, the small actions, like you say.
Mm-hmm.
Not big things, as long as it's the right intention and
Precisely.
The right steps. If everybody does that,
mm-hmm.
can you imagine what would happen?
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, it'd be amazing,
it's
wouldn't
like
it?
And we all have access to that.
Yes.
It's like we're all the sun, mm-hmm. basically. Who doesn't want to be the sun? You know, you have to shine. You have to go deep. But there's ripple effects, aren't there? You know, ripple effects. And people have different experiences and beliefs that they absorb from different areas and different things that can lead them down whatever path that they're on. So, yes, conflict exists. But the bigger picture, I truly believe we're going in the right direction.
Me too. And I'm so glad that I'm speaking to you. You've got that hope, because I can sometimes flit into that despair sort of when I've heard something horrific that's happened to one of my clients, or
mm-hmm.
I see how unkind people have been to each other. But then I need to come back and reflect to actually there's a lot of goodness in the world. There's a lot of people doing amazing things, making a difference.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful to be part of a community that are all focused on that.
Yes,
but
me
I think
too.
It comes back to the self. We work on ourselves to be the best versions of ourselves that we can be, if we can clear our rubbish piece by piece, bit at a time, and we can develop that self-awareness, so we start to become aware of, I've reacted to that, that's given me an emotional reaction. Why has that happened? What has it triggered within me? What do I still need to heal?
Yeah.
The more we can heal ourselves and become better versions of ourselves,
yes.
the more loving and giving we can be to other people. And then it has that ripple effect, doesn't it? And that's how we change it.
Yeah.
A bit at a time, working on ourselves, building that community and allowing it to grow and flourish.
Exactly. You see, again, going within.
Yes.
The answers are within you,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you. It might be hard right now. You might not be able to see the light right now,
mm-hmm.
but believe me, the answers and that wisdom, it is within you. It can't be found outside of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that looking glass. Just shatter that looking glass. Go within.
Yeah.
You know, do what it takes to go there mm-hmm. as well. Face those fears.
Yes.
And explore. Mm-hmm. And allow the fear to come up. You know, if you're exploring it, it becomes a bit scary what's coming up in session. That's okay. We're only looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're observing it.
Yes.
We can look at it at your pace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and work through it at your pace and your time. It's always the client and I, or the human being and I, you know, I sometimes don't even like using the word client.
Yes.
The person, the human being, the whole person that I'm working with, is that person and I, shoulder to shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
It's not me in front of them leading the way or trying to find the answers for them. It's also not them in front of me. It's we're together on this journey,
mm-hmm.
you know.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So obviously you've also sort of mentioned sort of the spiritual aspect and sort of source. And I know for me, that's been huge in my life. I think I always felt different from when I was very, very tiny for as long as I can remember. I almost felt like I'd been plonked in the wrong space, the wrong time. I didn't quite fit in, didn't quite belong.
Yeah.
But I always had an awareness of something beyond me. Now, there was different times I flitted to different things like, is this a particular religious belief?
Yeah.
Is it a particular spiritual belief? And now I've got to the point where I've come to the conclusion it's just something. And I call it source. But it's having an awareness for me that that is a part of me and that is within me. So I am it and it is me, whatever that is. And that therefore gives me that innate sort of internal guidance, like that internal sat-nav that I can interpret with my own intuition that will steer me in the right direction.
Yeah.
It's just been removing those layers of all the other stuff
mm-hmm.
so I can go back to connecting with that.
Yeah.
So how's your sort of spiritual belief impacted sort of your development?
Yeah, I think first of all, I totally relate. And it brings me so much joy to hear someone who's had the same experience. Mm-hmm. When I say I've always had deep empathy and this deep introspective personality and I've always been the observer, I when I say young age, I really mean we're talking 6 years old. I remember watching Pocahontas, for example.
Yeah.
She touches the rocks, the trees, they light up. She goes to the grandmother Willow, you know, and she listens to the wind.
Yeah.
I could see myself in that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, that's so true. You know, I knew this from such a young age. Mm-hmm. And yes, there's been times in my life where I've moved away from source, you know, the dark side of the moon. Again, I guess you could talk it drinking or doing whatever, you know, being bitter because I see through the facade and I see, does anybody else not see this? This is all like a mm-hmm. pantomime. Like, hello, I felt like I was the boy dropped to earth, you know, or I was like on the operating table that everyone else was under anesthetic, but I wasn't. And I'm like, hello, can you not see what's happening? Mm-hmm. And a way I worked through that was just to believe in source. Like you say, yes, there are lots of different religions. I studied religious education full course at GCSE yeah. level.
Me too.
It teaches you debate. It teaches you how to respect other people's beliefs mm-hmm. and allow people to have those beliefs. Personally, what I found is everyone's talking about the same thing. I use the word God some days.
Yep.
I'm not religious, but I know, as you say, there's something greater than me and I don't have the answers for that. But right now, I don't need to know the answers for that because I'm in this time and space.
Yes.
But my prayer every day, you know, is, dear God, thank you. Yep. I say, thank you. Please guide my thoughts, mm-hmm. my intentions, and I release all identity to you.
Amazing.
I don't need to be right. Mm-hmm. I don't need to be, you know, wrong to other people. I don't need this looking glass anymore. I just need to be present
yeah.
and myself, mm-hmm. Live my truth, speak my truth, and walk in my truth, mm-hmm. you know, and not just be connected to source, but we are source.
Yes.
You know, you're sat from across from me, I'm sat across from you, and you're you and I'm me, but really we're the same thing, you know, not to be too far out. Yeah. Don't want to lose anyone who might be listening, but it's all eternal. And I don't know how I know that. Mm-hmm. I just do.
Just a deep knowing, isn't it? It's, yeah.
Yeah. And anyone who tries meditation, you know, if you just switch off those thoughts, you know, our brains can run so fast. Mm-hmm. If we could just take a moment to switch that off
yep.
and find that space of no mind, you will find the answers too.
Yes.
And you will know as mm-hmm. well. You know, and if you break down religious texts, you know, like the Bible or the Quran or whatever religion, all religions I actually feel are beautiful.
Yes.
They all teach similar things. I believe at the core, mm-hmm. they're all talking about the same thing.
Yep.
They're all trying to encourage us to find that place.
Yes.
You know, that eternal place that's within us all.
Yes.
God is within us all. You know, mm-hmm. if you want to use that word or whatever word you use, yeah. is within us all. Mm-hmm. And I know this for a fact. I know that's my truth. And I don't question that. Mm-hmm. anymore. And I don't know what that means always. Yes. I don't have the answers, but all the spiritual teachers, you know, like Eckhart Tolle, all the greats, you know, the power of now, mm-hmm. they all teach us this.
Yeah.
You know, it's just switch off that mind, mm-hmm. connect and go within. You know, Eckhart Tolle, I don't know if you've read The Power of Now.
Yeah.
I imagine you have. talks about his journey started because he was in a suicidal place.
Yeah.
You know, he said, I can no longer live with myself. Mm-hmm. It was that sentence, the I and the self,
yep.
that sent him spiraling. Mm-hmm. Well, what is that? What do I mean, the I and self? Are they two different things? Mm-hmm. No, they're one.
Yeah.
You know, you are one whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it for him. He's now one of the greatest
teachers
of our time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it just goes to show, even in the darkest of times, you can find that light.
Absolutely.
By using Source.
Mm-hmm. And I think they're the times when I'm happiest, when I'm connected to Source, when I feel a state of bliss and joy and peace and tranquility.
Yeah.
It's those moments and dip in and out of them. And I think it's been really useful for me. I've almost gone back a step recently, and I'm mm-hmm. quite happy to admit that, because when we're on this journey, it doesn't all just go in a nice, smooth trajectory. Different things happen. And I think for a long time now, since my husband got made redundant, it's amazing because he's part of the business now and it's growing. But a different responsibility got put on me, that all of a sudden I was the sole breadwinner in the family. So everything became very much about 3D. Everything became about being working, busy, making sure that I could feed the kids, pay the mortgage, do all of those other things. And I've noticed that's been quite detrimental for my well-being, because I haven't been connecting to that true self, that inner self, that part that's connected to that source. And I've known that, but almost got stuck on that treadmill for quite a while of, I don't know how to get out of this. And I was given the blessing the other week of getting the flu. Both me and Pete got the flu, and we were really poorly. And we couldn't do anything. We couldn't get out of bed. The kids have had to feed themselves, or we've had luckily friends and relatives that have dropped food off and they've got the kids to and from school.
Yeah.
And initially I was like, this means I'm not going to earn any money for the next couple of weeks. But it made me stop. It made me reset. Mm-hmm. And I feel that's what I needed the most. I think we're always given what we need.
Yes.
And it's just brought me back to that connection again. So I think this conversation is a timely reminder for me of, I need to get back to meditating, exercising, going within, looking after my whole being. Because that's when I feel the best.
Yeah.
So thank you for everything you've shared. It's a really useful reminder.
That's okay. Yeah. It's there, you know, it is there, and we can access it at any time. And I'm the same, you know, I'm the same. Sometimes we do get caught up, and sometimes bad things happen, and not always for a reason or a lesson. Sometimes bad things happen to people, you know, and we forget, you know, that Source is there and we can connect. But when you do go back, I always have this feeling personally of,
Yes.
It's like going home. Oh, there it was. There the whole time. I almost forgot you were there.
Yes.
But there you were the whole time. And it was within me.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not there yet. I'm not always perfect. I'm not always centered every day. I have my days. You know, sometimes it's two steps forward and one step back. But forgive yourself even on the days, you know, where it is more difficult or you do get caught up, like you say, in the 3D.
Yeah.
Because we are human beings. On this timeline and in this lifetime, which is a flash, but we just need to be here and do what we can. And sometimes, it's like with poison. Sometimes poison can be the right antidote when administered in the right conditions. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we have to experience a bit of the poison to understand the goodness of life.
Absolutely.
You know, there's almost like a duality of it, isn't there? And sometimes when you go through the darkest places, the brightest of lights meet you on the other side, you know. And if there's anyone listening now who's in a really low place or a dark place, I want them to have faith in that and to know that, you know, they likely won't feel that right now or be able to see that, but have that faith. You know, I have that faith for you, and you will find it, and this darkness will be transmuted to light.
Yes.
You know, and you can heal then, and you can do those intentions we spoke about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those small intentions or giving back and spreading that ripple effect.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited by this conversation. We're almost coming to the end, however. So before you go, are there any sort of final words of wisdom or guidance that you would like to give to our audience?
My final wisdom and guidance would be, recognize the looking glass self and shatter it. Go within, have faith in yourself, and don't be afraid of your truth. You know, live your truth and speak your truth and be the truth.
Amazing.
And enjoy that journey.
Oh, well, that's great. Thank you. I love that. So, Once again, could you just say how people can find you if they decide they want to work with you?
Yes. So I am Empowering Pathways Counselling. So my website is empoweringpathwayscounselling.com. I'm on Instagram at empoweringpathways.counselling. Mm-hmm. And you can find me on the counselling directory as well. Just search Jack Brown, search Lincoln, and drop me an email as well if you need to, empoweringpathwayscounselling@outlook.com. Mm-hmm. And if you want a phone call, if you're listening, we can arrange a phone call. There's no obligation.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for
being
here today.
Thank you. It's been such a pleasure. I've really loved this. It's been great.
Me too.
Thanks.
And thank you to our audience for listening today. Take care, and I shall speak to you again soon. Bye-bye for now. If you enjoyed this podcast, please make sure you subscribe. If you would like to find out more about the therapies that we provide and the training we offer, please visit our website, www.tranquil-awakenings.co.uk. You can also find us on social media.